TV is blaring and the radio booms. The newspaper headlines predicting our doom. And there sits my mother in her favorite chair. Above all the trouble in her
Amen. Hit the lights, my friend. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can we give them a hand clap of praise for worship this morning? Thank you, Brother Ed and Miss Connie, for ministering. Pastor Pedro, Brother JJ. Wonderful. Aren't you glad to be saved this morning? Amen. It'd be hell without him, I'll tell you that. Sometimes that joke hits, sometimes it doesn't, you know. Oh, man. If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 11, I want to talk this morning about faith. Amen. I've titled this message, Mothering Faith. Mothering Faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Seemed fitting to go to the Hall of Faith, Hebrews. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity to be before you, Jesus. Father, when you told us to gather even more as the day approaches, the day of your return approaches, God, we come into the house of praise. We come into the house of prayer, God, that we be before you always, Lord, that we come into a place that is not conducive, Lord God, to the worldly viewpoints and the struggles and the stresses of life, God. We can literally take those things off at the door and enter into freedom, just to rest in your presence, God. So we thank you for the house of God and the beacon that it is, Lord, that we can come into your house and rest, Lord God. We can meet with you, Jesus. We can sit with you and talk with you, and we can receive great wisdom from you and your word, Lord. And your spirit can come upon us, Lord, and strengthen us and encourage us to go back out into a world, Lord God, that despises you and its truth. It does despise you. It despises your name. It despises anything that's associated with your name. But Father, let us, God, as children of you, go out into the world and proclaim the goodness of our God with love and with mercy and with grace, that others might find the truths that we found in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So grateful again to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I had a wonderful field trip with my daughter on Friday. We went to Epcot, and we woke up at 5:30, drove all the way to Orlando. The park opened at 9, and it closed at 9, so we stayed until it was over. And while we were there at the end, they did a fireworks show and the music and all the things. And I was just standing there with Rayleigh for a moment, and I was just honestly thanking God for the opportunity to be there with my daughter, spending that time, just me and her. I cherish those moments. And I almost felt like a gentle whisper in my spirit. And it said this: when you realize some moments will be your first and some moments will be your last. It gave me a lot of perspective in that moment. This is our first trip to Epcot. I'd never been there before. Rayleigh had never been there before. We're experiencing all this together for the first time. I'm experiencing it for the first time with her. She's experiencing it for the first time with me. And at the culmination of the day, as the fireworks are going off and the music is playing, and I just have her under my arm, and we're both looking up, enjoying that moment. It was perspective of this is the first of something that we've done, but at the same time, it'll probably be our last time for it being our first time. And how necessary it is to cherish that moment, how necessary it is to have a perspective on life, that as you go day in and day out, you're going to experience things sometimes for the first time, and then some of those things that you're going to experience will be the last time, and you never know when that time is. So we should have perspective. And I believe that God encourages us to have perspective. I believe in what we're going to share today. It brings a lot of perspective on our life with Christ. Because I believe one day We're going to take our last breath. We're going to have our last experience here on this earth before we're taken up and we see Jesus for the first time. And if you're older than a child, you probably recognize this, where you've had experiences in life and you look back and you go, man, I wish I would have done more in that time. If I knew then what I knew now, I probably would have taken the risk. I probably would have taken that chance and enjoyed that a little bit more, but I rushed through it and I missed out on it, and I'll never have that opportunity to go back and do it again like it was in that time. Anybody ever had that? Anybody ever had that nostalgia and realization of that? And what that does is it teaches us that time is momentary. Time is momentary and it's short. The Word of God says our life is but a vapor. Something that's transparent. It's so thin that when you see it, it's see-through. And then in a moment, it's gone just as soon as you see it. That's the way that life is. And one day we'll be with Jesus and we'll look back and we'll have perspective of our life. And, you know, I believe there will be a moment of sorrow and grief, because in a moment we'll have a recognition of all that was and all that could be, because we'll have the mind of Christ. And you'll look back and you'll go, man, look how much I missed with Jesus when I walked through the earth. How many opportunities Jesus gave me to walk with him, to sit with him, to love him, and for him to love me. And I was in a hurry and I missed it. I believe we'll have perspective in those times. And I believe that there will be a moment of grief for us that goes, man, I have eternity, but I still missed out on those moments. And if I could go back, I would do anything to change it, to have it back, to do it different. Me and Brother Joe, we had that conversation this morning. We know those people that go, I wouldn't change a thing if I could go back. I'm not one of those people. I would change a lot going back, and I would make things different. And then I think one of the main things I would change is I would have believed on Jesus a lot sooner. I would have recognized him as Lord and Savior a lot sooner. I know that sounds almost cliche for a preacher to say, but if you take the pastorship away, if you take the church away and the ministry away, and it was just a man who had to live out his life all the rest of his days, I would say this to be true, that I wish I would have known Jesus. I wish I would have recognized him sooner. I wish I would have given my life to him sooner, because I've realized that life is so much richer, so much grander when you're walking through it with him. And coming to our message today, I don't want to get too far into that. Just a little bit of nostalgia for all of us, and especially mothers, as we honor them today. You look back on your children's lives and just think, I would do anything to go back and have those moments just one more time. Just one more first hug, one more first day of school, one more silly fight, you know, trying to get them dressed and ready to go to church, whatever it was. You wish you could go back and have that. And as Rayleigh is 10, about to be 11, and I hold our youngest daughter in my arms, I think, and I go, man, I would do anything to go back to hold Rayleigh like this again. And so let that be a physical representation for what we're going to talk about today, about mothering faith, about recognizing moments that we have and walking with God through them. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So faith, in this definition, are not believing on something that you see. It's believing on things that are invisible, right? Is love visible? No, it's not. It's as tangible as the wind. You feel it, but you can't see it, and you can't contain it. And faith is very similar to these things. So faith is believing in things that aren't seen. It's the substance. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. Amen? It's the evidence of things not seen. And this is how the elders obtained a good testimony. It was by faith. It was in belief of what they were told by God. The Old Testament righteousness that accounts to them, that allowed them to get into heaven without the blood of Jesus, it was faith in God, who he said that he was and what he was going to do, and their belief in that to the end. Amen? It was counted to them as righteousness. And that's how they were able to see heaven. And today, we have not only that ability to believe, but we have the precious blood of Jesus. So what could hinder us from coming into the fold of Christ, the presence of God? Not only do we believe, but his blood is so tangible, is so real, and it was really shed for us physically. That thing that centuries believed on, in one day it was made tangible through the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. So faith culminated in one moment. And can I say that whatever God says to us this morning, he means. Whatever his word says, he means. And that though we may not see it for years, even though we may not experience it for years, that one day it'll be culminated into a tangible experience. And our faith in it or our faith not in it is going to define what happens to us when that happens. Amen? I'm going to give some examples of that this morning. You ready? Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. We're going to go through the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, this morning through Scripture. Amen? I'm getting a little bit of humming, Brother Eddie. I don't know if that's out there or if it's up here. Can you hear it? Just barely after I get done. If it's not bothering you, it don't matter to me. It's the bass? I don't know. I'm trying to stand way back over here, you know. Push this off me a little bit. We got new people here. I don't want them to get scared if I get loud. I wouldn't get loud. Luke chapter 1. Verse 26, it says this: Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man. His name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, she was troubled at this saying because she didn't believe that of herself. See, coming into the faith of Christ, many times we look at Jesus and we go, "We're sinners. We're wretched. There's no reason you should love us. There's no reason you should consider us for anything futuristically in you." That was Mary's trouble. And then it was confirmed by the angel that he really was talking to Mary and meant what he said. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bearing forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, I want you to understand this very simply, that Mary had to agree with what God was saying to her through the messenger. Now, when we talk about salvation and we talk about faith in Jesus, we're not talking about agreeing with him, right? Because we can agree that God is God. Just because God says that he's God, we can agree with that. That's not faith. To say, oh, this carpet's red, you can go, I agree with that, it's red. Right? But what if you'd never seen the church before? And someone tells you the carpet's red. You could say, oh, I agree with you, the carpet's red. But you don't know. Do you see the difference? See, we can agree when God says something and go, yep, you said it, that's for sure. But that's not faith. Believing is not agreeing, right? But believing, you can't agree. I know that seems a little confusing, but please don't let it confuse you. But I want you to understand, when salvation happens in a person, something supernatural happens. God comes upon a man or a woman and deals with that heart. And that heart has a choice in that moment. I'm not talking about acknowledging that there is a God, though there is acknowledgement and faith. Not agreeing that there is a God, though agreeing is a part of it. But believing that God is who he says that he is, and he is going to do what he says that he's going to do, and living your life accordingly to what he has said in that moment. Now, that's the difference. Now, can you imagine 12 men? 12 men that don't know each other from Adam. And Jesus shows up one day and he says, drop everything you know and everything you love and follow me. I'm the Christ. I'm the one that is going to come. I am the Messiah, so on and so forth. Those men followed the life of Jesus passionately, gave up everything they owned, and followed Jesus to his death and his resurrection, and then went on to die martyr deaths, terrible, awful deaths. Now, that does not come through acknowledgement. You are not going to die a martyr's death because you acknowledge that Jesus was who he says that he was. Peter tried that for a little bit, and what happened? He fell, right? Hey, aren't you a follower of Jesus? No, I don't know him. That's what acknowledgement gets you, right? That's what agreeance gets you. Because when the rubber hits the road, when evidence is demanded in your life, you're either going to stand in what you believe, or you're going to be taken away. You're going to be moved off of it. An agreement or an acknowledgement is not enough. It is faith. They believed without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was the Son of God. It was given to them by the knowledge of God himself. And then they lived out their life through that experience and belief in Jesus. To their deaths, they said, just don't acknowledge him as God. Just don't acknowledge him as the Son of God and your life will be spared. And they said, no, he is who he says that he is. We believe by faith without a shadow of a doubt. We believe it. Now that comes through the word. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, the Bible says. Now, how did Mary understand these things? An angel of the Lord came to Mary and expressed to her, God has found favor in you. And he has chosen you that if you will receive this and believe this, that God is going to bring a life from you. He's going to put life in you first, and then he's going to bring life out of you. Now, that sounds just like salvation. When God looks at us and he says, I want to put life in you. I want you to receive my life. What I think you deserve. And then I'm going to let that life live out of you. And all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is have faith that this will happen. And a lot of us had that same response as Mary did. I'm unworthy, God. I'm a sinner. I'm shameful. I don't deserve any of this. And God says, I don't care what you think about yourself. You found favor in my sight. That's what he told Mary. You found favor in the Lord's sight, and he has chosen you. Now, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that some who believed on him should have eternal life. Is that what it said? It said, whosoever. Amen? Whosoever. That's in everybody's gospel. Isn't that wonderful? Which means that you have found favor in God's sight. If you were born into this world, you were born to be born again. You are born with the most wonderful opportunity to not only breathe breath, but to have the opportunity to have eternity. Amen? You wouldn't have had that opportunity had you not been born. You would still just be nothing. But God found favor in you, And you were born. You were brought into existence. And that existence was for a purpose. And so Jesus is given to Mary by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God came upon Mary. Now, isn't that New Testament language? Well, how am I going to be born again? Well, the blood of Christ is applied, and the Spirit of God is going to come upon you, and His life is going to come forth from you. Isn't that New Testament language? Isn't that a picture of being born again, the foundational principles of salvation? And this is what He tells to Mary. He says, she goes, how is this even going to be possible? I've never even known a man. I'm a virgin. And this is what He said. A supernatural thing is going to happen to you. Folks, that is the answer to being saved. Supernaturally, I was once this way, and now I'm this way. Not because I did something that was good, but because He did something that was good. Isn't that what He told Nicodemus? When Nicodemus asked, how can I get to the kingdom of heaven? What did He say? He said, you must be born again. Nicodemus goes, that don't make no sense. I'm an old man. How can I go back into my mother's womb? He said, first you must be born of water, which means you have to exist. Isn't that a great requirement? To get into heaven, first and foremost, you just have to exist. And everyone here exists. Everyone's here, real time. And the second thing is you have to be born of the Spirit. Amen? Meaning the Spirit of God comes upon you. And you're born into this Spirit supernaturally. And all of a sudden, your cravings of your flesh die in the death of Christ. And in this new life, this craving that you have are the cravings of God. That's a Spirit-filled life. I now hate the things that God hates, and I love the things that God loves. That's supernatural. That's what happened to you when you got born again. So this is somewhat of a picture of our salvation when we're talking about Mary here. She's given a promise. Amen? And this is what she said. Not only are you giving me this, and I'm not agreeing with you or just acknowledging you, but Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And the angel departed from her. We must believe and then go, whatever your will is, God, begin it in my life. I'm going to take you at your word. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that the only responsibility of the Christian is to simply sit back and rely on the word of God to come to fulfillment in your life? This is what God said about you. So do you have to fulfill it? No, God has to fulfill it if that's what God said about you. She simply said, I accept what you're saying to me as truth, and I will wait for you, God, to do it in my life. That's faith. Right? What happened to Abram when God spoke to him? I want you to go out into a wilderness and I want you to look for me. And you'll find me there and I will give you every bit of land. Now, did Abraham get to see millions and millions of his descendants? He only got to see one, didn't he? But it never hindered him from believing that God, if you can give me a child in our old age, there's nothing you can't do. That from this one son, there will be many. Isn't that what they said about Jesus? From this one, there will be many? Because of faith. See, you can read down through Hebrews chapter 11, and it'll show you more about that. But for time's sake, I have to keep going. Just a little bit further down in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Let's start there. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. There's that all people again. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. Now this is important for the message I'm preaching to you this morning. This is talking about faith. This is believing at God's word that he's going to do what he said that he's going to do. Now the problem that most Christians have is they hear the word of God. They understand the word of God. They agree or they acknowledge, but there is no desire to seek out the evidence. You see what I'm saying? That carpet's red, but you've never been here before. Man, I want to come see if it's red. I want to come see if what you said is true. For the promises of God are yes and amen, which means that if God said it and I believe it, it's for me. And if he would do it for them, he'll do it for me. Isn't that wonderful? And all I have to do is not just agreeing with and acknowledging it, but let's go see. Amen? That's faith. That's faith. Let's go see if God's in this. Let's go see if God is here. Let's go see if the King of Kings is really born to us. Let's go see if it really is for all people. We're lowly, we're weak, we're feeble-minded, but God has spoken to us. Let's go see if it's for me. I remember being born again. I remember being wretched and sinful and shameful. And I remember God speaking to me and saying that all of the promises of God were for me. And I thought to myself, oh, could it be true that God loves me even though I'm this? I'll tell you what, I had to get up from that place and I had to go find God to see if it was true. And when I got up and I went to find him, guess who I found? Jesus, right there where he said he would be, with arms wide open, not caring about my past, not caring about my sin, but wanting to love me because I was no longer a stranger. I was a son. Hallelujah. That's a place you can go with God. Not just someone saying words that you just have to take at face value, but God is a man of his word. That when he says it, you can believe it, not just in agreement or acknowledgement, but you can go and see it. That's the beauty of faith. That's the reason that I'm here today. I was told one time, my older brother, Christopher, told me one time, he said, Rafe, what happens in 10 years when all this stuff fades away? And you get tired of it and you start believing on something else or this fails you in some way. What happens then? You know what I told him? Because I didn't have a response. I had to pray. And I go, God, I don't have an answer for this. And the Spirit of God came upon me and just gave me truth about myself. You know, God knows you better than you know you. And he just gave me some blatant truth about me. And I just responded. I said, Christopher, you know who the biggest skeptic is in the world? Me. So if I believe God the way that I believe God right now, you have to know that God has proved himself to me in order for me to believe it. That's the truth. When I came into faith, I would tell God all that, and I still do this. God, show me. Show me. Show me this is you. And if it's not you, slam the door in my face. Lord, treat me like I'm 5 years old. Let me believe by the evidence. Help me, God, in this way. And he always has. That's why I'm standing here today. Believing God that way. Let's go and see, the shepherd said. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known. Oh, sorry, I skipped ahead. Verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, just like the angel said. Now when they had seen him, they made it widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary... Listen here, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Now, some great miraculous thing has not happened to prove that Jesus is who God says that he is. But there is evidence now to Mary through the shepherds. You see how this is going? There's not an overwhelming reality that Jesus is who God says he is yet. But look what Mary does. She takes the evidence that is given to her by the shepherds. And when it says that she pondered, it says that she treasured them in her heart. She hid them away in her heart because this is evidence of what God has already said to me. God is giving me evidence of what he's spoken to me. Folks, we're not a people that just ignorantly serve God. We are a people that are set apart from the world, that when the world does what it does, it always disappoints. It's always empty. Every infomercial has the same line. This is the best thing you could ever buy. You buy it for $21.99 at midnight. It gets to your house. You use it one time. It breaks. It's not the best thing that has ever been offered. Right? And then the next infomercial comes on, and here's a better one that you have and you could get. Even if the last one was great, the next one comes out and you're not satisfied with it. You go, man, well, there's better, then I want better. That's the human nature of the world. But guess what? There's always some next great thing. And you're always unsatisfied with what you have. Do you know that's not the nature of God? That's not his nature. There's satisfaction in God. There is no greater thing than him. There is no name above his name. There is no king that is greater than our king. There is no one that saves the way that Jesus saved. We have reached the pinnacle of all things when we've accepted Jesus and received him. Amen? And what he does is he keeps giving us evidence to prove that he is who he says that he is. What a wonderful God that we serve. Not some dead God or some sleeping God that others proclaim, but a living God who in our time of need comes like shepherds in the night. Just in case we begin to doubt and says, is this the one? Is this the king that the angels spoke about? And Mary and Joseph going, what are you talking about? You've seen angels too? They testified of him too? And they go, yes. Yes, he is the king. This is him. You know what Mary pondered in her heart? Evidence. This really is who God said he is. And he really is mine. Hallelujah. He really is mine. What a treasure we have this morning in Jesus, the same way that Mary received him. Hallelujah. What a treasure he is. Let's keep going. And behold, there was a man. This is Luke 2:25, just a little bit down in the chapter. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your Israel, your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your son and so your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now listen to this. The same language, after Simon expresses the Spirit of God has come upon me, has told me before I depart from this world, I'll see the risen Christ. And the Spirit of God led him to the temple that day, led him right to Mary and Joseph and Jesus. He picks up Jesus. The Spirit in this man, the Holy Spirit in this man, recognizes the divinity of Jesus and says, this is him. This is him. This is the one that God told me about. This is the Savior of the world. And then he tells Mary and Joseph. And what does it say Mary and Joseph do? They marvel at this. They marvel at this. You know those movies or those books sometimes that you read, and there's that imaginary character that only one character can see? And then someone comes in and they address the imaginary character, and the one character goes, so you can see him too, right? You know what I'm talking about? You believed it was just for you. You believed that maybe you'd fabricated it. You believed that maybe this isn't real. Maybe you're going through a time. Is God really faithful? Is he really never leaving us, never forsaking us? And then someone comes along and they give you that word that is on time from God that only God could have revealed to you. And you just marvel in the reality of God going, had you not come up in this moment and revealed this to me, I would have lost faith. I might have lost all faith in this. Folks, I'm talking about mothering faith. I'm talking about going through real life and the real troubles of life and the real distractions of life. And God always wanting to testify of his son in your life. And doing whatever it takes to bring the evidence that he really is who he says that he is. And he always will be. Folks, they marveled that someone else had testified of what they had heard. This is number three. This is what Matthew Henry writes. The Virgin Mary made them the matter of her private meditation. She said little, but kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She laid the evidences together and kept them in reserve to be compared with the discoveries that should afterwards be made to her. As she had silently left it to God to clear up her virtue when that was suspected, so she silently leaves it to him to publish her honor. Now, when it was veiled, and it is satisfaction enough to find that, if no one else takes notice of the birth of her child, angels do. Note, the truths of Christ are worth keeping, and the way to keep them safe is to ponder them. Meditation is the best help to memory. So what Matthew Henry was saying, that from the conception of Jesus, men thought her dishonorable because they didn't believe that Mary got pregnant by God. But she kept it in her heart that God, if no one else sees it, that God is going to bring the evidence to light to restore her honor. So in this side of things, you look at this and you go, man, people are talking about me some kind of way. Just hold on, believer. Have faith. Because there's going to come a time where God reveals it all and exposes your honor where people thought you had dishonor. Isn't that incredible? And Mary's life consists of that. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 41, just a little bit farther down in the scripture. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Do you see this reoccurring reality? Anybody else seeing that? This reoccurring reality for Mary, for Joseph, this demanding evidence that's coming because they've believed, they've accepted it, they've seen it. On the third day, there was a wedding. Sorry, this is John chapter 2, 1 through 12. And on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Now, I don't advise anybody to talk to their mama like that. And his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Now, I want to encourage you on this reality as I'm getting closer to the end of my message. I'm trying to be done by 12. If you need to leave, I understand. I really want us to understand that just a few more minutes. Amen. That our faith in Christ is to bring glory to Jesus. Amen? And as we have faith in him and we trust in him through the trial and the troubles of life, the more he is glorified when he is revealed to be Savior in our times of trouble. People go, well, you went through this and I don't know how you made it through. Well, I trusted Jesus. I gave it to him and he took care of me. That's how I made it through. And they're standing on the opposite side now. They're seeing the evidence that not that you weren't sorrowful, not that you weren't in tragedy and turmoil, because you were, but you leaned on Jesus believing the evidence of his glory was going to be pressed out of you. Just like the breaking of that precious ointment on Jesus' feet, the aroma filled the house. Listen, there's things that you're going to go through that are going to break you, but your faith and consistency in Jesus is going to bring a sweet savor of Christ's glory to people's nostrils. They're going to recognize in that moment, had you not been broken, I would never have recognized Jesus. Had you not gone through what you went through and kept the faith, I would have not believed that God could have delivered you the way that he did. That's what it's for. It's for the glorification of Jesus. Mary knew this, remember. And she pondered it in her heart. And though Jesus felt he wasn't ready, Mary had the evidence of what God had said to her. And she mothered that. She gave influence to Jesus in this time and said, it is time for you. She didn't even give Jesus a response. She just looked to the servants and said, do whatever he says to do. See, there's going to be times where we have to call upon Jesus the way that Mary called upon Jesus by faith and go, I know that I don't think it's time. I don't know. Maybe I'm out of time. I don't know what the situation is. But God, I need you to perform now, not perform like a show, but I need you to glorify yourself in this situation now. And then in that moment, honor God with whatever he says to do. Amen. There's a great saying that came from a great pastor friend of mine in one of the hardest times of our life. I said, I really don't know what God wants me to do. I've not heard clear direction from him in a long time. I don't even know if I'm hearing his voice. You know what he said to me? He said, do the last thing that God told you to do until he gives you clear answer for the future. Just believe on the last thing that he said until a new thing comes. Amen? Believe in that. Because this here is going to make itself evident through faith. Amen? John chapter 19, verse 25, it says this. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were new and accomplished, or were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, And this testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Now I want you to understand this. Mary has followed Jesus his whole life, mothered Jesus her whole life, treasured up all of the evidences that were revealed to her by God through an angel, through a messenger, and watching it being displayed in front of her life, walking. Now coming to the culmination of the cross where he is going to be crucified. And these are the words of Jesus at the cross to Mary and to John. He looks at John and he says, behold your mother. This is important for us, because when we come into this salvation, every one of us, when we come into this salvation, we are mothering our own faith. We're nurturing our own faith in Jesus. We're keeping it. We're caring for it. We're making sure that nothing comes in and steals it. Nothing comes in and harms it as it makes its evidence known, right? That's what we're doing. And Jesus, knowing that he's going to be lost, looks at another disciple and says, the same way that you've cared for me, you're going to now care for this person. You're going to love them like they're your own child. And folks, that is the life of the Christian. There is no law against these commandments. Love God with your whole mind, soul, body, and heart. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus looked at Mary and said, the same way that you've loved me, love John. Folks, the same way that you've loved yourself and you've kept this faith, the way you've loved Jesus, love others. Love them. Treat them like they're your children. We all talked about perspective when we first started, right? How I wish I could go back, even in those hard days with our children. Rebellious times, hard times, just to have that moment back with them. Think about it when that nasty neighbor comes over. Can you treat them like you would have treated one of your children when they were small? With love and with grace, with compassion, with mercy? Can you mother someone else's faith? Can you be compassionate and nurture them? I want to read this statement that I wrote. It was Mary's faith in Jesus, not as her son, but as her Savior, that made her walk out every moment laid before her with trust and grace. Not in what she thought of Jesus as her son, but rather what was said of him by divine authorities and revealed by supernatural power through God and his Holy Spirit. When Jesus is resurrected, there is no New Testament account of Jesus visiting Mary, his mother. Jesus visits a number of times to his disciples. You remember that? He comes back and he visits with his disciples. Thomas isn't there, right? Then Thomas is there. He reveals himself. Then to the men, the walk of Emmaus. The last real known account that Jesus reveals himself is when Saul of Tarsus is walking and he reveals himself to him. But there is no New Testament account of Mary ever seeing Jesus resurrected. Do you want to know why? She didn't need to see him. She knew he was. Because everything in Jesus' life as she watched him grow came to truth. Came to the evidence of truth and the glory of who he said that he was. She didn't need to see him resurrected. She knew he was. She knew he was who he said that he was. That's why she was able to stand at the cross. And though she had sorrow in her heart, she did not cry out for them to take him down, because she knew what he had to do. The only time that you hear of Mary after the resurrection is in Acts chapter 1, where it says they found themselves in an upper room awaiting the promise that Jesus said to wait for. And there is Mary waiting with faith treasured up in her heart to receive what her son had said was hers. And likewise, church, here we are today, over 2,000 years later, gathered in a house of prayer, believing as individuals lots of different things. As a body, one thing. Amen. Jesus. Because whatever your problem is, it can only be solved with Jesus. Whatever our troubles is, it can only be trusted to Jesus. So we come together to go, Jesus, meet with us today, like you met with them then. And I'll sit here and believe that you're going to do what you said that you could do. Because you have shown me the evidence all the days of my life. From the moment that I conceived this revelation of you, day by day, you've shown me your evidence that you're real, that you are who that you say you are. It gives us confidence to pray, don't it? Amen. It gives us confidence to pray in faith. Can we stand all over the house? I'd like to pray in closing for our faith today. Father, we thank you today that you, God, are a nurturer of us. You're a caregiver for us, God. And Father, the requirement of salvation is faith. And you've given us that ability through your grace to look past all of our wrong, to open the door of faith, to believe on you, not just agree, not acknowledge, but to believe fully, to run after you, God, to see for ourselves, to have evidence made real in our life, not just to us, but everyone around us, that you are who you say that you are, and that you'll do what you say that you'll do. And I lift up every person here today, God, because all of us have needs. All of us have things, God, that we're trusting you with, that we're leaning on you for, God. And Father, we wait together in trust and in faith, like Abraham did, that these things are going to be done. Lord, we thank you, God, for your birth, for your life, for your crucifixion, and for your resurrection, for the example that was set for us, not just by your disciples, but even your own mother, who at God's word believed on you, not just her son, but her Savior. Father, I thank you for all the mothers in this room tonight and all the mothers in this nation, God, in this world. We honor them, God, for they've brought forth life, not just life, Lord, to do nothing with, but life that they take responsibility over, Lord, and they cherish and they nourish and they raise, God, they form. And Father, thank you, God, that you put that in us, God, with our faith, that we take care of it, Lord, that you're constantly feeding it and building it up with the evidences of truth out of your word and in our life. Thank you for glorifying yourself. Thank you for living in our life, God. Help us, God. Build our faith as we walk, God. Give us those evidences day by day. These prayer requests that have been prayed for, God, I pray that those are answered, Lord. Father, that we can rejoice and glory in you and go, look what our God has done again. He's done it again. And Father, you have. You've done it again and again in our life. So we love you. We praise you, God. If there's anyone here that doesn't know that faith, I pray, Lord God, Father, that they're met with you, a divine messenger of the Holy Spirit. Father, that they might come to know you, to be a son, to be a daughter, that they might not look for that next best thing anymore because they found the greatest of things in you. We love you and we cherish you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.